Other factors not available in all states.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening around the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this beautiful weekend, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I am once again by myself here in the studio as Carrie Kasem is still traveling. I'm not sure whether she's ever coming back to beautiful Los Angeles. She is so busy. I can't even have my co-host in studio with me. And I know last week she was very upset that she wasn't here because she is a big fan of Alan Gura, who was our guest. And Alan Gura, of course, is one of the leading advocates of the Second Amendment and gun rights. And he spoke to us about the Supreme Court decision of Heller and McDonald, both of those decisions that he was the lead attorney arguing in front of the Supreme Court. And it's interesting because when we talked to Alan Gura last week, he talked about some other issues that go on in this country on a daily basis, the divided United States of America. And he gave some interesting perspectives because he's not necessarily a supporter of Donald Trump or of previous President Barack Obama, but he also said that he wasn't qualified to give opinions on a lot of issues. And I really respect that because here's one of the smartest guys around, a litigator, supreme, obviously arguing in front of the Supreme Court on a number of occasions. And he said, you know, sometimes as a lawyer, you just have to take a step back and try and understand all the evidence. You have to understand what's going on in the world without not necessarily having all the information. When you don't have the information, it's really hard to do. And that's something as a trial attorney that I run into every day, just because I am up against an attorney who may be, frankly, an idiot, who may be immoral, who may be unethical, who may be ignorant. It doesn't mean that I'm going to prevail. We need to know the facts. You need to have the evidence. And in this day and age, in this world that we live in now, we have so many people in the media and otherwise on social media speaking out, saying things out of turn without information. And again, that's where we get into the fake news and the misconceptions and the misinformation that surrounds us every day. And yet people still have such strong opinions. I want to read from an article that was published a few months ago, right after Donald Trump won the election. It's from the LA Daily News. And the author of this editorial wrote, "First, we must always examine fairly those widely held views with which we disagree, even when we know we are right and the other side is wrong." He later said in this article, "I campaigned fiercely against then-Senator Barack Obama, but when he was elected, I unequivocally pledged my support." Now, today, we are going to talk to the writer of that blog article, Elon Carr. And a lot of people know Elon Carr because he has run for office a few times, unfortunately for him, unsuccessfully, and unfortunately for a lot of people who support him. He is now a prosecutor at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, focuses on criminal gang violence. He's an Iraq war veteran. He's also a JAG Corps officer in the U.S. Army Reserve, and he has been very outspoken on a number of issues. And he said, even though he may not have supported everything that perhaps our president or the previous president says. We're Americans first, and we are happy to have with us Ilan Karr. And by the way, later in the show, we are going to bring on Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who a lot of people know. He's often in the media. We're going to talk about anti-Semitism. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about the Muslim issue and some of the problems that are that the country is facing today with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. I don't know why he doesn't have a more straightforward name. He was best friends with Michael Jackson. He should have figured out how to have a name that you can just say easily. But we'll look forward to having Rabbi Shmuley on the show later. Without further ado, I want to welcome to Gervie's Law, Ilan Karr. Ilan Karr, again, is with the district attorney's office. Ilan, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Alan, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. And let me just say, having worked in large corporate firms, when you say you're the managing partner of our lives, I've had managing partners of my life. I know what that's like.
Well, we all do. I know a lot of us who are married, and I would defer that managing partner. that gig is my wife's, and she does a fantastic job. And I happen to know that your wife, who is a doctor, a rheumatologist, she does do some workers' compensation work. She's a very, very fine doctor, and apparently she can manage your family's life as well.
She's the best. Thank you for pointing that out on the radio. There's nobody better, and I'm blessed. Thank you, Alan.
And we share something because we have young kids. I think your youngest is probably the same age as mine, and it isn't easy. You are out saving the world, helping people be safe in this world. Your wife is saving people's lives literally, and yet you have three kids now. Is that right? Three?
Yep, we do. And thank God they're great. And it's just the greatest thing. Parenthood is a blessing. You mentioned I specialize in gang violence. And one of the things that's so painful in my daily job, I see every day the kind of suffering and neglect that our kids in our community are subjected to. And it breaks my heart because parenthood is really this, it's the greatest gift from God one could have.
You know, I think that we need to focus more on it. There is so much divisiveness in our country right now. And what we often forget is that kids are left behind. For you and I who go home every day to young kids, you can just see how impressionable they are and how much focus needs to be put on good values, needs to be put on being a good citizen. And I think that gets lost somewhere along the lines. And that's why I point out this article that you wrote called How to Heal the Republic After This Bitter Election. And you talk about some really logical things that we need to consider. And so many people, very intelligent people, friends of yours and mine, don't seem to understand it. Tell me what you were thinking when you wrote that article.
Well, I tell you, Alan, I think you hit the nail on the head. What prompted me to write that piece is a profound sense of worry for the future of our country. And I really think that disunity is dangerous and really threatens the future of our country and the future of our republic, which is why I called it Healing the Republic. I think that the rhetoric we saw in the campaign is really only a symptom of a real dramatic polarization and hostility that has come to define our public discourse in so many ways. And people on opposite sides of important issues that of course merit discussion and disagreement.
Right.
I'm not saying otherwise, but people on opposite sides of these important issues have demonized each other and have totally regarded as illegitimate any opposition. And it's frightening and it's dangerous, and it will only bring us more discord and hostility and internal disruption to the point where it really could threaten the greatness of the United States. We need to come together. We need to put aside our differences, focus on the vast oceans of common cause that we have with each other. And when it comes to those issues with which we disagree, like I wrote the portion you quoted, we need to treat each other with respect and disagree respectfully. Disagreements are normal and healthy, but disrespect is not normal and not healthy.
So why is it the case then? Because I know you have a lot of friends who you probably are very close with that have diametrically opposed views from you, and they seem to have, you know, they're out for blood. And I'm going to quote from the article again because it's a really intelligent sentence here. It says, the public's appetite for blood sport brings out the worst in everyone. Is that something that we just have to accept, that people aren't going to be logical, that people aren't going to be intelligent, that people aren't going to look at the facts, but they're just going to go out for blood? Why are we in this situation, Elon Carr?
Yeah, no, we mustn't accept it. Not only don't we have to accept it, we are obligated not to accept it, because accepting that sad, unfortunate reality is dangerous for our future. We've got to operate, and leaders in all levels of public life and in education need to fight to bring people together and to make sure that we are able to respect one another and disagree with respect and with logic. Not everyone is going to be logical, and that's always been the case. But this kind of acrimony and bitterness does not have to obtain, and we've got to bring people together. Part of it also is public agents of public discourse, like the media,
right,
and like teachers. Uh-huh. Really have to discuss opposing views in ways that are respectful and say, look, here's what one side thinks, here's what another side thinks, and they can even give their own view.
Exactly.
Here's what I think.
Exactly.
But make up your own mind. Make up your own mind, and there are valid arguments on both sides of the issue.
And it's very frustrating because the issues are really important, and people have to acknowledge that people have different opinions on the issue. It's not all ad hominem. You know, for those of us who debated in college or often just enjoy a nice debate at the dinner table, you can't just get away with putting people down without actually looking at facts and looking at opinions and trying to respect each other. There seems to be very little respect. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, Elon, we want to talk about some of the specific issues, because it's interesting. You've run for public office. You have some definite issues that are key in your mind and important and near and dear to your heart. Some of them actually...
I certainly do.
Some of them actually replicate what Donald Trump may be trying to do. Obviously, you're saying them in a very different way. I don't want to confuse the rhetoric, but we need to look at those, and we will talk about that after this break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know, it's one of those things you never think that you'd buy online, blinds. But that was before I found Blinds.com. The prices, selection, and quality are amazing. And their professional designers will give you a free online design consultation, helping you pick, measure, and install the perfect blinds. If you mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they'll remake your blinds for free. They'll send you free samples, and every order gets free shipping. Now through March 14th, get up to 30% off site-wide at Blinds.com with promo code PAGS. Blinds.com, promo code PAGS. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate. passionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
With Doug McIntyre in the morning.
Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks people, they dumped all these documents about the CIA hacking your Samsung television and your smartphones. I said, good. I hope that our spies can do that.
I just want to know if an agent is listening to me through my Alexa.
You know Alexa's ratting us out. I'm not positive, but I was hitting the Haagen-Dazs the other night, and I'm pretty sure I heard Alexa say, you're not having another scoop of ice cream, are you?
McIntyre in the morning. Now with Leanne tweeting news. 5 to 10 on KABC.
We got a real good show for you.
Coming up on the next drive home with Julian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll find out if King Kong dominated the box office.
And we'll find out if Richard Simmons' lady is still dominating him, whatever she's called, mistress slash maid.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. We are turning Murphy's Law upside down. I'm Alan Gervey, and we are talking with Elon Carr, who is a criminal gang prosecutor at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. He has a very, very interesting background. He's run for election, narrowly lost in 2014. And he also was up for the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors for the 5th District in 2016, was not successful, but came through with a lot of very important issues that were brought forward into the public. Elon, I want to ask you real quickly before we get to some of those issues, tell us a little bit about your background, because it's fascinating when we talk about Iraq and we talk about the amazing experiences that you had, not only as an Iraq war veteran, but also when you were there, you know, with the candle lighting with Saddam Hussein, or at least in his office.
Yeah, so actually, interestingly enough, I'm the son of immigrants, and my mother fled Iraq as a refugee. She watched her father, my grandfather, be dragged away and put in prison for no reason other than being Jewish. And she fled as a refugee out of that country with my grandmother, her mother, and her younger brother, my uncle, and eventually came to the United States, really in search of the American dream, like so many of us here in this country. And for me, to then many years later go back to Iraq, this place where I had never been, but that was so familiar to me and so much a part of my family's history, to help Iraqis fashion a free, a pluralistic, tolerant democracy out of totalitarian misery that Saddam Hussein represented, was an extraordinary privilege and an adventure. And I really got a chance to work with wonderful soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, and it was a real honor. It was a true honor. And you mentioned the candle lighting, and one of the things we had done was right after Baghdad fell, a few months later, we found ourselves in the presidential palace of Saddam Hussein. And we came together, Jewish service members and civilians came together to light the Hanukkah menorah and celebrate that holiday, and then subsequently to celebrate Shabbat, the Sabbath, every week in the presidential palace of Saddam Hussein, which I think is such a testament to the pluralism of America and the tolerance of our armed forces and of our country, and to bring that kind of pluralism tolerance to a place that so desperately needed it, a place broken by tyranny, was really a tremendous achievement.
So those are stories that you don't often hear, and soon we will have Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the show, and I don't think he's had an opportunity. I mean, he's been hanging out with Oprah and Michael Jackson, but as far as I know, he wasn't lighting Hanukkah candles in Iraq. So, Elon, you really
he's not, although I should say, I should say, Alan, he's done plenty of wonderful things. He's a great friend of mine, and we spent a week ago, we were together, actually, coincidentally enough, and I think the world of him, and so you couldn't have picked a better guest to have on, and he's been a real leader for justice in the world, and so you can tell him that when he comes on. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to stay on with him so you can tell him yourself. We're going to talk about anti-Semitism. I know you know a lot about that and protecting the rights of individuals. By the way, when you were together, was that in Vegas? Were you with the Sheldon
yes.
Adelson? Didn't they have an event or something?
Exactly right. It was a large event, and he and I were there together, and we had some lovely time together as well. But that's exactly right. It was in Las Vegas.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these issues, because you have been a proponent, obviously, of public safety, and you try cases involving some of L.A. County's most notorious gangs, as well as cases involving domestic violence and cruelty to animals. Putting you on the spot for a minute, from what you understand of Donald Trump's policies, is he going in the right direction with protecting our citizens?
100%. You know, I think of the many responsibilities a government has to the people, no responsibility is more sacred and more urgent than public safety. That's the government's top job, to keep us safe, to keep our community safe, to keep our children safe. And with crime skyrocketing, you know, after decades of coming down, now crime is really is spiking, and we see. I mean, I can tell you from what I do every day, it's overwhelming, the amount of violence and home burglaries and everything is up in every category, shootings, and the list is a terrible one and a long one, and we deserve better. We deserve better from our leaders, and I very, very much appreciate the president's emphasis on public safety, on keeping America safe and keeping our community safe, and also respecting those law enforcement officers on the front lines who risk their lives to keep us safe. And they've been disrespected in the last few years, and I very much appreciate the president's emphasis on respecting our law enforcement and first responders and focusing on public safety and making sure that when we send our kids off to school, we can be confident that they're going to come home safe and sound. And that is the most important job a government has.
So you're on the front line, so to speak. What can we do to address gang violence in Los Angeles and in every major American city?
Well, first of all, we have to end the early release program. We've got to make sure that people who are sentenced for the crimes they commit serve their time. And that's critical. We've got to also fund our law enforcement agencies. We're understaffed. Many police agencies are understaffed. We have to make sure there are enough cops on the street. These are all short-term but very, very important solutions to our current rise in crime. However, we can't deny the fact that there is a long-term solution as well, and that is we've got to take care of our kids. These gang members I prosecute, Alan, they're 17, 18, 19-year-old kids,
yeah.
And I put them away for in many cases, more years than they've been alive on this earth. And it's tragic that we have to do that. We ought to be intervening in their lives before they're drawn into gangs
right.
and violence and street life. And so I ask, in this great country of ours, in this great county of ours, why isn't there a universal preschool so that every single kid, especially from a tough neighborhood and especially from a bad home, can be taken care of as early as possible? And for those schools that are failing, why aren't we fixing them? Those K-8 schools so desperately need to be nurturing safe places where our kids can learn and explore their limitless potential. A kid goes into a gang, Alan, a kid goes into a gang because he has no sense of self-worth. And those gang members, his fellow gang members, are giving him a sense of purpose and self-worth and love. And every kid deserves to feel self-worth and love. And they should be feeling it from their communities and their schools, not from their fellow gang members. And that's why we need to fix so many things that are going wrong with our societies today.
A few weeks ago, we talked about Betsy DeVos, and we had some experts on from around the country addressing those issues. In 2014, one of your campaign themes was education, and you said, on the whole, our education system in America is not worthy of our children. An inferior education imposes enormous economic and personal costs on American families. Now, do you think...
That's exactly right.
And it sounds logical, but the question is, from that idealistic perspective, which is something that we should all support, is someone like Betsy DeVos, and I don't want to get into the personality herself, but is that someone where there's alternatives for people who may not have the wherewithal to go to better schools? Is that going to help our system?
You know, look, I think alternatives are very important. I've been a big supporter of charter schools. And the reason why charter schools are so important, it's not to kill traditional public education or district-based schooling, of course not, but to inject competition into schools and into our educational system is, I think, incredibly important and incredibly healthy. We want parents and families invested in the decision of where to send their kids for school. And we want them to have choices. Choice is a good thing in education. And so I think absolutely we should be looking at increasing choice, increasing competitiveness in schools, and giving parents an opportunity to decide how best to give their kids the best education that they can, and an education, again, that their kids are worthy of. Because our children are the most important asset we have, Alan. What is more important than our children?
And that's,
we've got to be delivering world-class education that befits them.
And that's where it all starts, because when we look at the divisiveness in our country today, something we're missing is the mentality and the state of mind of people and how they became who they are as adults. In your campaign a couple of years ago, you also talked...
That's a very important point, Alan. You just said something very important. It's not only – everyone talks about the educational failure in America in terms of our competitiveness in the world market, and that's important. In terms of – I talk about it a lot in terms of crime and giving kids a sense of potential that will keep them out of gangs and out of crime. But you hit on something very important. The venom and the acrimony we see in public discourse today would be much better if we don't teach, for example, civics anymore. Kids need to understand how our country works and why there are differences of opinion on key issues regarding, let's say, immigration,
right,
or the court system, or even abortion. And a good educational system will open people's minds and allow them to debate issues in a much more healthy and understanding and respectful way.
And intelligent way.
That's a very important point.
I mean, we can't.
Exactly right.
We cannot downplay the fact that we all have intelligence. Yeah, it may vary, but we have to really respect others and give them an opportunity to learn and understand instead of promoting the venom and the hate and all of the bad things that we're unfortunately seeing today. When we talk to Rabbi Boteach in a few minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about anti-Semitism, the immigration ban, and some of those topics. But what I want to do just in the last minute or two before we take a break is ask you if there are fundamental differences that you have with President Trump, because we haven't talked about taxes, jobs, and health care, but I know you see a need to see change in taxes, jobs, and health care. We don't have time to get into each one of them now, but how do you fundamentally differ? And I'm not talking about a personality. We're not talking about the way that President Trump communicates. We're talking about the issues.
You know, Alan, I think it's early because obviously to measure this administration, we have to see what they do and the results that they get. And the president himself said that. You know, in fact, on the night of his victory speech was, you know, everyone's saying this is historic, but it's only historic if we do a good job. And I think that's exactly the right attitude. And so we have to see what results the administration will get. But so far, I have to tell you, I'm incredibly pleased. Obamacare has imposed enormous burdens on the American people and on the medical profession. And it's been deeply unhealthy. Maybe it didn't break the system, but it certainly didn't fix it. And so we need to think about that and get back to a place where we're not going to solve the problem of access on the backs of doctors,
right,
such that we will take away all choice that people have in their health care. We just like we talked about choice in education, people ought to choose their doctor and be able to have choice on whom they go for treatment.
And you understand
Obamacare has the opposite effect.
You understand that better than most, because for those of you that didn't hear the beginning of the show, Elon Carr is actually married to a rheumatologist, a doctor who is in the system. She knows what she deals with every day, and I'm sure it comes home. So they have discussions. A lot of people don't really understand the realities of our medical system today.
Oh, but Alan, they're getting a rude awakening on those realities, because their premiums are shooting up. And in some cases, patients have lost their insurance. In many cases, their doctor that they've been going for years has dropped insurance because the insurance no longer pays the doctor a living wage.
Right.
And so and my wife sees this all the time. Patients come in saying, well, my doctor no longer takes my insurance. I don't know whom to go to. I wish I could go to my doctor. I can't anymore. I lost my insurance. My premiums are higher. And it's a mess out there. And so I'm very excited that the president is, and I think also the president is correct.
I just want to say this, that anyone who thinks that status quo is acceptable under these circumstances really needs to think twice, because we don't know, like you said, what's going to happen in the future. But give it a shot, because it ain't working now.
It ain't working now. Exactly right. And I think the president is also correct when he says, let's not talk about repeal until we have a replacement. I think that's responsible leadership. Some out there are saying repeal, 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 and don't worry about replacement yet. Well, and the president, I think to his credit, has said, no, we need to do this in one package deal. We've got to repeal Obamacare, but it's got to be replaced by something that takes care of people.
Right.
And that is 100% correct. I agree with that. And so I think he's on the right track there. He's talked about education and how important it is that we fix our schools and deliver to our kids the kind of education they deserve. He's talked about respecting our law enforcement officers. He's talked about protecting the public, securing our borders. And let me just say, Alan, about border security, this is so important because this is so divisive an issue. Border security is not an immigration issue. Border security is a public safety issue, plain and simple. I prosecuted a murder case not too long ago where that victim was shot by someone who had been deported, came right back and shot the victim in the face. We've got to secure our border, and that has nothing to do with immigration. I'm the son of immigrants. We need to have immigrants right in our country. But you've got to secure our border, because that's a public safety issue. And so we've got to separate border security from the debate on immigration. It's just wrong to conflate the two. Border security is a public safety issue, plain and simple.
We have Rabbi Shmuley Boteach waiting to get on. He wants to throw his hat in here and talk a little bit about what's going on in this world, and you make some excellent points. I'm not sure he's going to disagree with you. Elon, you can stay with us so you can talk with Rabbi Shmuley as well.
I can stay with you for a little bit, but then I've got to jump off. And again, if he didn't hear what I said before, I'm a big fan of his. We're great friends.
Okay.
And he's a real leader in our country, and I'm so proud of being able to call myself his friend.
All right. Well, we'll give you another 5 minutes with him, and then you can get on with your day. We appreciate you listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-461-2525. That's 1-800-461-2525. 1-800-461-2525. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Your one stop for breaking news
and adult fun. 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey, and we just had a fascinating conversation with Elon Carr, who is a prosecutor with the District Attorney's Office. And, of course, for those of you who are listening, you are probably hoping and itching that he will be running for office again, because I know he had a lot of support in the last few years. Elon, are we going to see you running for office anytime soon?
Oh, well, I'm no plans at the moment, but of course, all my life I've looked for ways to make a difference for the country I love so much. And if there's an opportunity to make more of a difference than I am in my current role as a gang prosecutor, I'll jump on that opportunity. And so that's where I am now. But right now, I'm very proud to be a prosecutor and keep our streets safe and put bad guys away.
Well, that's really something that you should be proud of. And someone else who has made a difference in this world and continues to fight for what is right is Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. And I know, Elon, you two are friends and were together in Las Vegas last week. You even said some really nice things about Rabbi Shmuley. We have him now on the line. Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you very much for having me, and it is a pleasure to be on with my friend Elon. How are you, Elon?
Rabbi, how are you doing? I said some very nice things about you behind your back, together with our listeners, of course. And you're a real leader, and you sure are.
I don't want anyone to think there's any Lashon Hara going on. So why don't you say it in front of him and say exactly, Elon, what you said about the contributions that you believe Rabbi Shmuley Boteach has made to the citizens of this country and around the world.
Well, we were talking about you, and I told Alan and our listeners what a leader you are and what a fighter you are for justice. Truly, you fight for justice, and you fight for what's good and right in the world. And you make our country a better place, and I'm very proud to call you a friend.
Wow. Rabbi, wow. Rabbi Shmuley.
You know, it's not often that I get praise, so I'll take what I can get. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful. I'm speaking to you both from the streets of Jerusalem. I'm in Israel right now, and I had a fascinating day visiting some of the hot points here in Israel and in Judea and Samaria in the West Bank. And I've been very moved by a lot of what I saw, and Elon and I meet at many conferences that deal with Israel and democracy and human rights, so it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Rabbi, I want to ask you, now, you know, you're in Jerusalem. What is the feeling there about the wave of anti-Semitism, or what some people are calling anti-Zionism, that we're unfortunately seeing on a daily basis in this country?
Well, you know, let's be very honest about this wave of Jew hatred. A lot of people are saying this started with Donald Trump and white supremacists and Steve Bannon and Breitbart. And to be honest, nothing could be further from the truth. This wave of anti-Semitism started with Iran openly threatening the annihilation of the Jewish people and then getting $150 billion while they did so. Iran is the country that made it acceptable to speak about a second Holocaust. And the United States is the country that legitimized Iran after decades of having no diplomatic relations with this vile government, which took our diplomats hostage, which threatened death to America and the great Satan and all of that stuff. We did a deal with them, allowing them to speak openly about the extermination of the Jewish people like the Nazis. That's what started this new wave. Once you legitimize genocidal incitement, then the victims of that incitement are going to face a wave of Jew hatred. And it started in the Middle East, and it's moving over to the United States.
And don't forget don't forget about Europe, by the way. But before we talk about that, I know Elon Carr has to leave. Do you have any last comment before we let you go, Elon, about what Rabbi Shmuley Boteach just said?
Well, I agree completely. And I tell you, one of the things I did, I was the president of AEPI, the International Jewish Fraternity, and we have 10,000 students on 180 campuses scattered throughout North America and in other places as well. I have to tell you, what's going on college campuses is a disgrace. The kind of anti-Semitism you're seeing, it's closed in anti-Zionism and Israel hatred, but really it's raw and unvarnished anti-Semitism. And this has been going on for years, way before people have discovered this new so-called wave of threats against Jewish community centers and the vandalism of the cemeteries. And so we have to put a stop to this. We have to stand up for what's right and call this what it is. And this kind of reflexive hatred of Israel and delegitimization of Israel is nothing other than anti-Semitism. It's always been anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism today. And to tolerate anti-Israel incitement is in effect to legitimize anti-Semitism, and we must never allow that to happen.
Last question before you leave. Do you think the Democrats and President Obama contributed in his last few months to this acceptance of what you're calling anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism?
Well, Rabbi Boteach is in Jerusalem now. I was in Jerusalem when President Obama refused to veto that awful anti-Israel UN vote.
Right.
I was there at the time. I was at the Western Wall the next day after that vote. And I have to tell you, the feeling in Israel was a feeling of real betrayal, that the United States had abandoned its closest ally in the world and basically stood for a resolution that calls the Western Wall and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, called it occupied territory. And it's a disgrace. And when that happens, yes, it does contribute to anti-Semitism. It does add fuel to the fire of all of these agitators who are preaching Israel hatred and Jew hatred.
And some people are looking.
Now, I don't think that was the president. Let me be clear. I don't think that was the president's intent, but that was the effect it had. And that's just unacceptable and inexcusable. And that, I think, that UN vote and our refusal to veto it is a dark day for America.
Yeah, no, and I think when we talk about validation, that may just be what that was about, or at least how people interpreted it, and that's what's sad. Elon Carr, thanks so much for being on Gervy Law. We really enjoyed having you.
Thank you, Alan. Pleasure to be with you. Rabbi, take care. All the best, and I'm sure I'll see you very soon.
Thank you, Elon. God willing, and thank you for being on with me.
Rabbi, you wrote an article called No Holds Barred, Donald Trump and the Smear of Anti-Semitism. It's a really good read. In it, you say Trump as an anti-Semite is not implausible, but absurd and libelous. What do you mean by that?
Well, this is the first president to ever have Jewish children and grandchildren. To say that Donald Trump is an anti-Semite is to argue that he despises his own daughter, Ivanka, who converted to Judaism. Now, if he hates Jews so much, why didn't he stop her from converting? Why didn't he threaten to disown her?
And by the way, Rabbi, let's not get it confused here. She is a religious Jew, has converted, not simply someone who did it like some Jews do, some conversions, which don't have the commitment, the dedication. They do it for either cultural or family reasons. But isn't it true that, you know, if you are... if you're talking against Jews, you're really talking at the foundation of who his daughter is now.
Yeah, so you have to accept that he despises his own daughter against all the evidence that seems to suggest that she's the apple of his eye, that he's very close to his daughter. You would have to assume that he despises his own grandchildren. You would have to assume that all of the Jewish people who've worked for him for the past few decades, some of whom I know, who speak very highly of the respect he has shown, their faith, their commitment. I know one of his attorneys who has told me that for decades he leaves early in the winter months on Friday to be observant of the Sabbath, and how Trump has always been so incredibly, not just understanding, but encouraging of his Jewish employees to keep their Judaism. So to say that Donald Trump is an anti-Semite would go against the grain of decades of his public posture, or friendship towards Israel, friendship with the Jewish people, conversion of his own daughter to Judaism when he could easily have opposed it, but instead he threw her a kosher wedding, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think anyone believes that. I think what they're saying is that Trump is sounding these dog whistles to white supremacist supporters who are part of the backbone of his political base. And he's not condemning the rise of anti-Semitism. Well, look, at the beginning of his joint, his speech to the joint session of Congress,
right,
he condemned anti-Semitism very strongly. We appreciated that. And he should continue to. And this administration must do everything to identify the perpetrators of these bomb threats. JCC should not be targets of incitement. Jewish kids should not have to be evacuated from day schools. My own son's school had a bomb threat against it, and the police came. And so this is serious stuff. And the desecration of the cemeteries in places like Missouri, I mean, this is Holocaust imagery of Jewish headstones being knocked over. So none of this is pleasant. It has to be combated. It's disgusting. It's vile. It's abominable. And we do want, expect, and demand that any administration, whether it was the Obama administration, whether and now the Trump administration, which is in power, that they do everything in their power to combat anti-Semitism. But I think President Trump is taking that very seriously right now. That doesn't mean there haven't been any missteps. And I don't think that we do the administration any favors by papering over mistakes that may have been made. For example, when they did not mention the centrality of Jewish suffering, of the Holocaust, on Holocaust Remembrance Day in January, the centrality of the 6 million Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust, that was a mistake on the part of the administration. It really was. But okay, this administration has shown phenomenal friendship to Israel. They have stood up to Iran's genocidal incitement against the Jewish people. They have held Iran accountable for their ballistic missile tests, which go against United Nations Security Council resolutions. They have told, when General Flynn was still the National Security Advisor, we'll never forget this. He went up to the podium at the White House press room, and he said, "We're putting Iran on notice." That never happened.
Right.
In the years of the Obama administration. To the contrary, President Obama was sending quite literally plane loads full of cash to the Iranians.
You know, Rabbi Boteach, we have to take a quick break, but it's interesting you say that, because Elon Carr had said you have to judge this administration on the totality of actions, not just necessarily one, maybe one slip up, but you have to look at the entire picture. As well, he talked about the immigration ban not simply being an immigration ban, but looking at border security and public safety. After the break, I want to talk to you a little bit about the immigration ban, about the Muslim issue, coming from you, Rabbi, someone who was voted one of the top 50, I think number 6, rabbis in this country. We're talking to Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Is Bill doing the running man?
Yep. Bill just switched to Cricket Wireless, and he's really feeling this whole free phone thing. He got a free Samsung Galaxy Amp 2 when he switched, on a plan that's only $30 a month.
Oh, is that the...
the cha-cha?
Yeah. Woo! Shake those hips, Bill!
Cricket Wireless. Something to smile about.
Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires number ported and activation of eligible service. Minimum $30 per month. First month service charge due and sale tax may apply. Fees and restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. $30 per month plan not eligible for auto pay credit or group safe discount.
If you're finally addressing your hearing loss, you know that custom hearing aids can cost as much as $5,000 each and are not covered by Medicare. The good news is MD Hearing Aid offers medical grade hearing aids at savings of up to 90% over traditional hearing aids. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-396-1380. That's 1-800-396-1380.
Wake up! Wake up!
with Doug McIntyre in the morning.
I am very popular. I don't know if you know this, but you know me, Randy. We've known each other how long now? Over a couple of weeks. And I'm one of...
Too long.
And as
a social butterfly.
That's me. And as of this morning,
people think McIntyre, think of a bubbly personality.
I have 4,162 friends. And you know how many of them I actually know? Four.
McIntyre in the morning. Now with Leanne tweeting news. 5 to 10 on KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, and we're back, and we're talking to Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. Of course, a lot of you know Rabbi Boteach from his relationship with Michael Jackson. He was a friend and unofficial spiritual advisor to Michael Jackson. He's written a number of books, including Kosher Sex and Kosher Jesus. He's had some controversy in his day. He's in Israel right now in the streets of Jerusalem. Rabbi Boteach, tell us quickly your views on this Muslim problem, so to speak, immigration ban, and terrorism.
Well, first and foremost, let's say that there's no Muslim problem. Islam is a great world religion. It has had periods of phenomenal enlightenment. It gave the world some of its first universities. Islam gave the world some of the first inheritance rights that were enjoyed by women. But to say that Islam is a religion that is backward, as many people say, that's bigotry, and it's not true, and historically it's absolutely inaccurate. What is certainly true is that a disproportionately large number of Muslims today are turning to jihad and are turning to a very extremist form of violent faith, which is a threat to civilization. I think it's repudiated by the vast majority of Muslims. I don't think that they would want their religion portrayed in that manner. But the numbers are still too large, and there isn't enough mainstream condemnation of those who abuse the faith and who are an abomination to the Islamic faith. So that's the nature of the problem. The problem is not with the Islamic faith. The problem is with these extremists who are not being repudiated sufficiently by the mainstream. Because it's only Islam that can rescue Islam. The West can battle Islam, but we don't want a war of civilizations. I see here in Israel, I'm a cyclist, to the best of my ability, as my body enters an advanced state of decrepitude.
Like all of us.
I mean, we did a 93-mile bike ride for charity for Israeli amputees. I got to tell you, seeing Israel on a bike, you see the Arab women with their headscarves. You see the Palestinian children, you see the Israeli children, Orthodox Jews, secular Jews, and they're living together in harmony.
Right.
So it's not true that even here in the Holy Land that there's some bombs going off. And it's not true, and I never want to demonize Muslims.
And it's too, you know, Rabbi, it's too bad.
But I do want to see Muslims condemning terrorism.
Exactly, and it's too bad that people don't see what you're seeing. A lot of people here in this country don't get to experience it. Is President Trump doing the right thing, or is he going about it wrong to address the issue that you just mentioned?
Well, you know, if I had influence with this administration, and I'm lucky to know a few people in the administration, but if I had influence, what I would say to the new administration, who are doing their best for the United States, I would say, you can institute a ban, for example, from Syria, while you implement new vetting procedures, and for that purpose, as long as it's temporary.
Right.
But don't do that until you've set up proper safe zones in Syria, until you've instituted, whether it's a no-fly zone, whether it's a safe zone, whether it's President Trump picking up the phone to Vladimir Putin and saying to him, look, you want a better relationship with the United States, and I'm here being attacked and condemned for stating I want a better relationship. I want payback. And you know what the payback is? Stop the slaughter in Syria. Show the world that my relationship with you has led to the saving of life. Then, A, the criticisms of Trump's relationship with Russia would be diminished because we'd see that a genocide would be maybe ending as a result. B, lives would be saved in Syria. C, the issue is not whether the United States should be taking refugees from Syria. The issue is why are these poor, innocent people being forced to flee their homes while they are being bombed from the sky by this butcher Assad who's been allowed to slaughter them. And let's just remember, for all the people who are showing tremendous outrage at President Trump and the administration, we pleaded with President Obama, begged President Obama for 8 years, Susan Rice and John Kerry and Samantha Power, to stop the slaughter in Syria. To even pass a single United Nations Security Council resolution condemning the barbarity in Aleppo. And that was not done. So let's just remember, President Obama allowed this humanitarian crisis to escalate.
We'll see what happens. Those are some strong words and action-oriented, which we need to talk about. What will work for this country and for the world? Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, I'm so happy that you had the chance to take a few minutes from your cycling in Israel to be on Gervie's Law. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you. You've been listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll see you next week.
Out of